Again, we welcome you to our services today, those that are joining online. And as we've already stated, the Virginia State University is here, and they have a presentation they will be making this morning. And we're grateful for them being here, just grateful for their presence, as well as you that have come to worship with us. So this time, we're going to turn things over to Kim LaPrade, and she's going to make the presentation.
Good morning, Crossroad.
Good morning.
I am representing Virginia State University Central Virginia's alumni chapter. I would ask that all of our members please stand, those that are here. We do have some that are not here. Our president, who is a member of this church, is Dr. Clinton Beverly. He has sent me with a message that I need to read on behalf of us as a team, as a member. Virginia State University was founded as the Virginia Normal and Collegiate Institute on March 6, 1882 in Petersburg, Virginia. In the first academic year, the school enrolled 126 students and 7 faculty members, all black, in one building, 33 acres, a 200-book library, and a $20,000 budget. In 1920, the land grant program for blacks was moved from a private institution, Hampton Institute, to Virginia Normal and Collegiate Institution. On the university's centennial in 1982, the student body had grown to nearly 5,000 students, 250 faculty members, a 236-acre campus, and a 416-acre farm, and a biennial budget of $31 million. Virginia State University provided students the opportunity to obtain a college education at a time when African Americans had limited options to further their education at other institutions of higher learning. Today, Virginia State University continues to educate a segment of the population that might otherwise not be afforded the opportunity a college education. The centennial Virginia chapter of Virginia State University, the Central Virginia chapter of Virginia State University Alumni Association continues to support the mission of Virginia State University to educate the next generation of innovators and engaged leaders. With the motto, "Greater happens here," we eye the future and celebrate Founders Day with this $500 donation to the Youth Department of Crossroad Baptist Church. Thank you so much. I'd also like to bring to your attention, for those of you who do not know, Virginia State University will be the first HBCU to host our presidential debate coming up. Thank you.
Good morning, Crossroad. Giving all honor to God, to our special guest here today, Virginia State alumni. On behalf of our Crossroad youth, will all of our Crossroad youth please stand? Let's give God a hand of applause, as well as Virginia State. We thank you and we pray that God will bless you in all of your future endeavors. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Virginia State University, for that wonderful, wonderful gift. As we know, our young people are facing some of the most tremendous challenges that they've ever faced. And thank you. That will go a long way in helping us with the programs, with the things that we need. We're planning to open the Agape Center in about a month or so, and we'll be able to have some youth activities there that certainly will bless the youth and help to direct them in the future. So thank you so much. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with us to Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Just check and see whether you... Amen. And thank you, choir, for blessing our hearts this morning with the worship song. Indeed a blessing. Amen. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses today, I'm very grateful that the Lord has directed us to the book of Acts, because we are looking at God's faithfulness, how he has been faithful no matter what has gone on in life, no matter what struggles we have. God has been totally faithful to us. We're living in perilous times, and if ever there was a time where the church needed, and excuse me for using this term, but act, it is now. And one of the best ways to do that is going through the book of Acts and finding out what did the church do in the midst of their trials and struggles. So in the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. However, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Father, we pray that you'd help us to preach your word, help us to proclaim your truth as only you can do. We don't rely on our own strength or our own ability, but Lord, we just pray that you would come forth and you would give us what we need to nourish us and to help us understand what it is that you would have us to do, and not only to do, but to say in these times in which we're living. We give you thanks and praise for all of your mercy. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to share a thought with you today, the problems at Pentecost. And a lot of people love to talk about the power, and certainly there was an outpouring of God's power like never before on the day of Pentecost. And as we've shared with you, it was to usher in the age of the church being born, being birthed. You and I can celebrate today because we're part of that church. We're a part of it. We grow, we learn, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart that you learn about God. You're able to go forth and you're able to feel a sense of confidence because God is with you. He's with you, and he's also in your heart. We shared with you also the people of Pentecost. There are a lot of people, and they gave the names of those who were from all the regions around the known world. They had come together there at Jerusalem for that day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, before we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming, it was a festival that they shared in Israel. It was a festival where they would present their first fruits and wave them to God. And that was the anticipation that they had, that God was going to bless the rest of it. In our worship, we present our fruits, we present our gifts, our talents, and our tithes to the Lord, that God may bless it and help us as we live productive lives. A lot of people, based on that, would think, well, they didn't have any problems. They didn't run into any issues. They were just so excited to serve God, so excited to be able to live for the Lord each day. They never had a problem. And that's where we're wrong. They encountered difficulty from day one. They struggled just like you and I. They went through hardships just like you and I. Never should we read the Bible and think that the people in the Bible didn't have to go through something. After all, if you don't go through something, your faith really can't grow. Our faith grows as we encounter something too big for us, but it's just right for God. Amen. As long as we think we're in control, we just go about our merry way, we just think, well, nothing can go wrong, then all of a sudden life has you on your back, looking up and wondering what in the world is happening. That's where God comes in. Pentecost is not to give us a sense of independence, but total dependence on the living God. It's to remind us that he's in control and not us. That we are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
You know, I was looking at this verse in Ephesians. It has nothing to do with the sermon except for the fact that it is in the Bible. But I was looking at the fact that we were dead in transgressions and sin. And Joe, what I did, I went back and I looked at that verse. Transgression is when we depart from God's way to do our way or to do our thing. And while it may look subtle, it can become deadly. It is deadly. Adam and Eve, before they committed the act, they transgressed and they went aside from what the Lord said and did something else. How many of us do that? How many of us head down that path? We know what we need to do. We got it set in our mind, and we're going to pray about it later in case it doesn't work. But you've transgressed. You have gone aside from the way that God taught you, and you're doing something else that he didn't teach you. Then it leads to sin, which is a moral failure. Sin is always the result of people going their own way, choosing their own path, and then the results is you commit some act, and now you, not only are you, is God angry at you, but you're angry at yourself. Why in the world did I do that? The good news is there's grace. There's grace. Never stop to think that the Holy Spirit was poured out because everybody in that upper room was perfect. Never think that you have the Holy Spirit in your life because you dot every I and cross every T, because you don't. Never have the sense in your mind that you live such a perfect life. Oh, God's going to bless me. It's because of God's grace. Why do you want grace? If it had to be earned, you'd never earn it. But since it's grace, God can give you as much as you need. Anybody in the building? So when we think about the problems at Pentecost, when we think about the problems that were encountered, what are some of the things that we need to anticipate going on in our own life? And what can we learn from those things that that they ran into? First thing that comes is the seriousness of sin. Sin is not something, well, there's little sin, and then there's the big sin. I haven't hurt anybody. Only thing I did was something that I had a little fun. The Bible is it doesn't apologize for what it says. The wages of sin is death. Now, what's going to happen when you receive the Holy Spirit in your life? Every time you head down a path that is going toward transgression, he's going to remind you you're a child of God. You belong to the living God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We're his people. So you're going to be reminded that God did not create you to live in sin. He created you for righteousness, and now you have what's known as a helper. Jesus said when the helper comes, he's going to help you to live in this life. What is he going to do? He's going to teach you about sin. He's going to show you what's right. How many of y'all ever had God to, when you got ready to do something and you were headed for wrong, the Lord spoke to you? How many of you witnessed that? That was God. That was God teaching you. That was him directing you. And thank God, he didn't have to do that. But he loves you just that much. What else do we know about it? We learn from problems our total dependence on God. That hymn that says, I need thee every hour. Somebody was going through something. The author of that song was facing a crisis in their life, and they knew that only God could bring them through. Some of you have been there. Some of you are right there now, facing a family issue, facing maybe a sickness or problem, facing financial needs. It's after Christmas now, and you got to pay to. So you know what it means. I can tell you from years of experience, your worst 2 years of worst 2 months of the year is January and February, playing catch up. Amen. But it's our total dependence on God. The disciples, they could have come out of that upper room feeling so positive, feeling so charged up that they said, you know, nothing can stop us. We're headed on our way. But they encountered problems. Now what do? Well, they do the same thing they've been doing. They pray. They ask God for direction. And now the Lord is in their lives. Now God is directing them. And prayerfully from this message, you'll be able to understand that you're not alone in this world. People will tell you, you don't have anything. You don't have all of the fame. You don't have all the fortune. You don't have anything. But I got God. I got God. And he's the one that's going to walk with me. But we also discover something else, and that is God's power for good. As you realize, those people on the day of Pentecost, they grew from 120 to 5,000 in one day. Can you imagine that? You know, and we look at our little church, and we say, man, we got a lot of people come. I can't imagine trying to pastor 5,000 people in one day. Can't imagine that. You'd have to have people equipped. You've got to have people that can direct them, help them to believe. But not only that, the next day, guess what? It kept growing. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, we learn that we're discovering God's power for good. Now, here's the message that you need to get from that. This world is a bad place. This world is teaching people, do whatever you want. Children don't even go to school to learn much nowadays. I thank God we got some wonderful youth in our church that they are learning. You go there to learn. You don't go there to prove a point. But my point is this. We've got to impact the world for good. If we don't do it, who will? Amen. We're God's army. We're God's soldiers. We're the ones that the Lord has sent into all the world that we're to be witnesses of his power. So what did we learn? Sin is serious. Sin is deadly. We also learned that we need God every day of our lives. We learned that we discover his power for good, but something else that we learned that we need to think about heaven. We don't preach heaven as long as everything's going right here, right? Yeah, you know, heaven can wait. You know, call that pie in the sky. I call it, well, when you get over a certain age, you're looking forward to it. Amen? Amen. The old song used to be, this old building keeps on leaning. I got to move to a better home. And thank God the Lord has a place for us. But we learn also through the Holy Spirit that heaven is a prepared place. That it's a place that you have to get ready for, because you're going to be standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't want to be looking any kind of way. As a matter of fact, between now and heaven, you're going to be just like Jesus. I know, last time you checked, you looked just like yourself. But when you stand before God, you will look perfectly as Jesus. You will have his righteousness. You'll be able to speak as he speaks. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will perfect that which he started in your life. Somebody ought to clap their hands for that. So now, what kind of problems did they face at Pentecost? Preacher, you said they faced problems. Right off the bat, they faced the problem of criticism. Being criticized. Here they were. And the other people interpreted. They said, oh, they're speaking of the wonderful things of God. Praise God for that. They said, we want to learn more. But you had some in the crowd who said, they're just drunk. Do you not know that to the world people think we're crazy? They think you've lost your mind because you go to a church, you hear a preacher stand up and talk to you about a half hour, sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes a little bit longer. But you listen to that, you listen to the choir, and they think we're crazy. Okay? Yet they go to the club, get drunk, get to fighting, knocking each other upside the head, shooting if they want to. And they say, we've lost our mind. Well, in a sense, we have lost our mind because we got the mind of Christ. We're in our good mind now because the Lord is directing our path and teaching us what is right. Let me tell you that just because you have the gift of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, don't ever think that people will not mock you. Don't ever think that you won't be criticized. First time that happens sometime in the church, people, I don't understand why folks talk about me. Well, they talked about Jesus. Here he was, the perfect Son of God, never did anything wrong. His Bible says even that there was no sin in him whatsoever. He didn't have a sin nature as you and I did. Why? Because he was born of a virgin. The world also says we're crazy for believing that. All right? But then they have a hard time believing that God can create a universe in perfect harmony. I don't have a problem with it because I know he's big enough. I don't have a problem with it because I know that any time a man can walk on water, he's got to be born some kind of way. Anytime he can turn water into wine, he's got to be somebody good. Are y'all here today? Criticism is something that the church got hit with on day one, and it did not let up. Today in our church, we're always going to have to face criticism, but it's how you face it, what you do with it, and if the criticism is right, then you change. If the criticism is wrong, keep on doing what you've been doing. Anybody in the building? My mama told me something a long time. I said I wasn't going to mention my mama, but I got to mention her. She said, people are going to call you anything, but you remember what your name is. Some of y'all missed that. But you're going to face that. You're going to have difficulties in it. And every time you run across criticism, you stop and you argue with people who are criticizing you, you'll never get to where you're going. Amen. Touch somebody, tell them, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. God is good enough and God is perfect enough for us to keep on going on our journey. They face the criticism. They recognize, hey, we're on this journey for Jesus. We're not here to please this person and to please that one. We're here to please God. Amen. And to honor his name. Yes. Problem number two, change. Y'all got silent on that one. But can you imagine the magnitude of all the people that were joining? Last month, we got excited. Seven people joined the church. We got excited, man. We're shouting. Then we said, what are we going to do now? What if you had 5,000? Then what if you had God adding to the church, not every week, but every day? They learned to work through it, and I'm going to tell you the reason why the church grew. When you get the Holy Spirit in your life, it's like a magnet. It's going to draw people. Sin draws them to death, but the Holy Spirit draws them to righteousness. People want to know what is the truth. And I'm here to tell you that the gospel is the truth of God. Paul put it this way in Romans. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Think about where you came from. Think about how good and gracious God was when he saw you polluted in your sin. And he reached down in mercy, picked you up and turned you around, gave you a new walk, gave you a new determination. And people say, well, you're not all what you should be. I know I'm not, but I look at what I was. And I'm telling you, I got something to shout about. I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. What about you? Change and progress has to happen if we are going to improve our lives. If you are going to move forward, change is necessary. So you might as well get used to it. Change is painful. Change means I got to say goodbye to the comfort zone. Change means I got to walk by faith when I don't even see what's before me. Change is saying God is doing something that I don't understand, but I believe him and I trust him. I want to tell you something. This church has grown through change. We've grown. We've learned. Sometimes we thought we knew what we were doing, and we learned we didn't know everything, and we had to get on our knees. Don't feel bad when life knocks you down on your knees, because then you're in a powerful position. Amen. Then you can call on God and say, Lord, I don't know, but you know the way. Amen. Sam Cooke wrote that song many years ago, A Change Is Gonna Come. It was during the civil rights movement when they were looking at all kinds of oppositions, all kinds of people just saying, no, you're not going to move forward. You're not going to have freedom. You're not going to be able to get beyond these laws that we've got in place. But then he was saying, you know, I was born in nowhere. And when you're born in nowhere, you're by the river. Are y'all here? Y'all ain't sanctified that much. In a little tent. Now, yours may not have been a tent, but a lot of us wasn't born in a palace. You ain't living in the house that you live in. You wasn't living in the house you're living in now. Amen? Amen. Now, how many of y'all had to go outside to the bathroom? Amen. Take a bath in a bathtub. And I'm not talking about one of those porcelain ones. I'm talking about a round one. Are y'all in the building? God brought you a mighty long way. Now we done got sophisticated. Now we done got educated. Now we've gotten upright, and we don't want to raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord. But you better thank him, because he could have left you where you were. But believing in change, embracing change as a way of life, and I believe the early church, they felt that. Not so much that they could handle it, but they knew that the one who was in charge could take them where they needed to go. Yeah, let me minister to some of you that are facing sicknesses today. You're thinking to yourself, okay, I've got to go through all of these things. This is changing my body, changing my attitude, changing the way I live, but it cannot change your status before God. Amen. That's something that is firmly fixed. You will always be a child of God. Whether you're on a sick bed or whether you're up and walking around, whether you've got your good health or maybe some days you're struggling, God is still in control. Can you clap your hands? Never allow the fear to dictate to you that as you go through this change, oh, God's not with you. That's the devil talking to you. That's him warning you to get discouraged and to not walk by faith. But when you tell the devil, the same one that brought me this far is going to take me every step of the way. I believe that. You got to trust him. You got to know that he's in control. That's why the Holy Spirit, watch this. He is constantly communicating with you. He's constantly encouraging you, bringing out the word, telling you, this is the scripture you need for today. This is the prayer you need to pray today. This is the song that you need on your heart today. Why? Because that's going to be your key to victory in Christ. Clap your hands, amen? Because when God speaks to you, watch this. When he speaks to you, that shuts the devil's mouth. Let me say that again. When he speaks to you, that shuts the devil's mouth. He wants you to give up. He wants to tell you it's too hard. And what you ought to tell him, I know it's too hard for me, but it's not too hard for God. Amen. Stay encouraged. Whatever you do, never let anyone or anything talk you into a corner where you can't move forward and allow God to use you in your life. The third thing. Challenge. And this brings us into our scripture text. The problems at Pentecost, criticism, change, challenge. What do you do when someone stands in your face and not only are they opposed to you, but they're saying you're not going to go any further? How do you handle that situation? Here it is, the Sanhedrin, consisting of the scribes, Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious leaders of that day, they started hearing about the church. They thought, well, if we get rid of Jesus, we'll get rid of the Jesus movement. Everybody say wrong.
Wrong.
They hung him on a cross, but they didn't know that was part of God's plan. They didn't know that God was going to not only receive his offering as the atonement for our sin, but that the third day Jesus was going to rise again. I want you to notice something here. In that verse, it says they preach through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, normally, we would think that's Jesus' resurrection. You'd read it that way, and you wouldn't be wrong for reading it that way. But when you apply that to your life, why preach Jesus and the resurrection if he can't raise anybody else? So the whole thing is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now working in you. Let me say that again. Let me talk to the folk over here. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now working inside of you. All right? The same power. Now, with that same power working in Jesus, when you get to a place where life wants to knock you down, can I just put it this way? Now you got some get-up power. Now you don't have to stay there saying, well, I'm paralyzed, I'm weak. Yeah, you're weak in yourself, you're weak in your flesh, but you're not weak because the power of God would get a hold of you. You quit talking this nonsense, I'm going to give up. Stop talking this crazy stuff, I just had enough. I'm going to throw in the towel. No, you take the towel and wipe your face and keep on going. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The disciples faced that. They are now preaching the resurrection. The religious leaders don't like it. As a matter of fact, they lay hands on them, and that didn't mean they were praying for them. They laid hands on them and put them in handcuffs, put them in jail. But guess what? Jailhouse couldn't hold them because they possessed something that was now released and is filling Jerusalem, filling the lives of people. If you look at the verse, it says, how do they face their challenge? It meant that, however, verse 4, however, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. In other words, they kept on going. They kept on doing what they were doing. So what does this mean for us? We've got problems. Criticism, change, challenge. What does that mean for us? How are you going to interpret that? Some of you have to face criticism every day. You know, school teachers, I pray for them because I know they're facing some hardships. You know, you get in class, you just want to teach math and English and other subjects. You just want to teach, and now you got to be referee. Crazy stuff. How do you continue? Cover yourself in prayer. Cover yourself in prayer. Don't ever just pray that little simple prayer. And what problems will do, problems will make you pray. Let me say that again. Y'all going amen like you. I ain't got no problem now. I'm all right now. But let something hit your life that you never had before. Now you're going to really pray. Now the tears gonna come down your eyes. All right, you're gonna wake up at night, and rather than worrying, you're gonna start praying. What did the church do? Acts 2:42 says that they continued in prayer. They knew the worth and the value of prayer, and they knew who to call on. They knew how to call on him, but that wasn't good enough. Here's what the Bible says. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, he makes intercession. He intercedes for you. He says words to God that you don't even know how to even articulate. That's how the Holy Spirit is working in you. He's praying on your behalf. And here's the good part. He's praying, and the prayers go through Jesus. You ought to shout here. The Holy Spirit is God on the earth praying through you, but the prayers go through Jesus because he's our perfect sacrifice. God's not going to look at us until he looks at Jesus. He's your attorney, all right? So the Holy Spirit is pleading with God on your behalf from the earth, but now Jesus, your attorney, takes what the Holy Spirit says, Father, give it based on what I did. Not based on what they did, not even based on what they need. Give it because you're rich in mercy. You're a wonderful God. You're a wonderful counselor. You are the mighty God. You can turn things around in their life. And God, you can make a way out of no way. I've seen you create the heavens and the earth, and now I know you can make a way in their lives with a little problem. Continue in prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that you can do, saints. Exercise it. Exercise it. Your muscles in prayer will become stronger. You'll pray more fervently, and God will hear your prayer. He honors your prayer. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it says heaven went silent for a half hour. Now, half hour in God's economy is not like our half hour. It could have been an eternity. But God said, I want everybody in heaven to be quiet because my saints are praying. Go back and read it. As the vials of the incense were poured out before God, he said that represented the prayers of the saints. So there ought to be some prayers coming out of your life. There ought to be some prayers coming out of my life. You got things to pray about. You got family members that act like they're going crazy. I'm sorry. I'm the one who's... You've got health issues. You know people that are going through. Pray. You've got people that are facing struggles every day of your life. You look at the news. You watch the news. Pray. Don't shake your head. Lift your head and say, God, have mercy. Answer number two, they kept preaching. They were daily in the temple. Sometimes we have a problem coming to church once a week. Lord, I got to go to church today. But if you knew how much you needed church, hello, somebody. They made it a regular routine of going through and telling people what God is doing. It was not their duty, it was their joy. And guess what? No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it. I don't know where they could take it. If one of y'all won the lottery, you'd be telling everybody. Lord, I got $100,000. What number did you play? Oh, I played. I'm messing with you now, aren't you? Now some of y'all going to empty your pocketbooks and empty your wallet when you get home. My point is, why can't we tell people about Jesus? Amen. You can tell them about your favorite ice cream. You can tell them about your grandkids. You can tell them about your new car. Why can't you talk about Jesus? Amen. Why can't you talk about the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star? Why can't we enjoy the Lord we serve? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that he's a good God. Amen. He's a wonderful God. I've failed him many times, but he never, Brother Bolden, he never has failed me yet. What about you? Amen. He walks with you. He talks with you. Keep telling the story about Jesus' love. Whether they hear it or whether they don't hear it, tell it anyway. Do some good in this world in which we're living in. Lastly, and I close with this, they continued in praise. Acts 2:47 said that they were praising God. The choir sung the songs today, but did you notice their faces? Their faces were lit up. It was like, you know what? Whether y'all get it or not, we're going to praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, entertainment has ruined this country. Entertainment. Because if you don't get up there and perform the way that Hollywood says you should do, then everybody goes, oh, I don't know. This is not a Hollywood performance. This is about expressing what God has done for you, how he brought you from a mighty long way. This is about honoring him. And every time you mention the fact, God, you made a way for me. When I got out of my bed this morning, I didn't wait to get to church to say thank you. I got on my knees and said, Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did it again. You've got to learn how to praise him. Praise has to be not your second language, but your first language. Are y'all here? Well, I don't know how to praise God. Go to the Psalms. If you don't say anything else, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One verse, a little girl heard it. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. Learn how to praise him. Learn how to thank him. Don't worry about who's watching. Well, if I wave my hand in church, then somebody gonna look at me like something is wrong. No, don't worry about them looking at you. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you struggle with. They don't know how far the Lord brought you. As a matter of fact, we ought to end this sermon with the fact that somebody had to come from a mighty long way. Somebody was down, but the Lord brought you out. Do we have any praisers in the building? Do we have any folk that don't mind saying thank you? I bless your name. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been kind to me. Better than I've been to myself. I just want the world to know. Let the folk hear you online. Let them hear your praise. Let them hear you honoring God. Let them hear you giving thanks. Nobody could do it but the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. Y'all might not admit it. But the life I've lived, sometime I would have given up on myself. But God never gave up. Never. I said, Lord, how much do you love people? You know what he showed me? He didn't tell me. He showed me. He said, this much. As far as the east is from the west, he stretched out his loving arms so that we could know that we have a Savior. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Who sung that song? Who wrote that song? A man by the name of John Newton. Used to operate a slave ship. Used to hear the slaves in the lower part of the ship moaning to the melody of Amazing Grace. He wrote the lyrics, because when he gave up that slave ship and became a preacher, he said, for the rest of my life, I'm gonna tell people about God's amazing grace. Here's a person that sold individuals, sold humans to other humans, and God saved him. What do you think he's going to do with the drug addict? What do you think he's going to do with the one on the street corner? Are y'all in the building? That's why you ought to praise him. As a matter of fact, some of us was on the street corner, but God made a way out of nowhere. I got to stop right here. I want to give the invitation. If there be one today, and you're going through some problems, but you know that it's only through Christ that you can conquer those things, and you're willing and ready to say, Lord, not my way, but yours. Let's all stand. Invitation is given. Whosoever will, let him come. Will there be others that will come today? Will there be others I know some of you online, you can't come in here, but you can write to us. If God has moved on your heart, confess him as Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Go to some church. You don't have to come here. Go to some church where you can tell them that you made a decision for Christ and that you have given your life to him. So what's your name, sir? Pierce Elliott. That's a good name, man. You shake your hand. You can be somebody great. Amen. You may be seated. Church, we have a young man with us today, Mr. Pierce Elliott. And what grade are you in? Fifth grade. Pierce is in the fifth grade. He wants to give his life to Christ. And I want to ask, first of all, do you believe in your heart that he is God? I'm going to say a short prayer with you. And like we talked about prayer, I'm going to say a short prayer with you. And if you believe that, and the Bible says you're saved, have you ever been baptized? You want to be baptized. Take my hand and let's pray. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I believe that you rose again to justify me in heaven. Thank you for your gift. I ask that now you come into my heart, save me, and make me a Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Mr. Pierce Elliott, you prayed the prayer. You prayed the prayer. And we're going to now ask that we have a motion to receive Mr. Pierce Elliott based on his confession as a candidate for baptism. Second to receive Pierce Elliott as a candidate for baptism and after which be given the right hand of fellowship. Now you do know why we're voting, right? We're voting to support him, to be on his side, to help him, for him to grow as a Christian. Amen. All in favor, let it be known by the usual sign. Show some excitement. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. So Pierce, we thank God for you. The brethren are going to welcome you. All right. Welcome to the faith. Close the service, and Brother Joe is going to come and bless the offering. One of the other things that we have an opportunity to do, and that is to give, to honor God with our giving. That's a type of praise, because we say to the Lord, we love his work and we support his work. And so those online, we know that you can't give in here, but again, you can go to our website and it'll direct you as to how you can give. Brother Joe is going to come at this time. Amen. How many of y'all believe Jesus is coming back real soon? Real soon. Real soon. Sooner than you think.
This announcement, of course, says you sign up for pastor's anniversary in a small sanctuary following morning service. I received...
Before you announce that, this Friday we need as many members as possible to show up at the Campbell County Circuit Court. The land on Clark's Road will be able to represent that, and the judge will make a rendering as to how to proceed, but we're hoping we can receive trusteeship over that parcel of land. So please, many of you that can, 1 o'clock Friday on March the 8th. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I want you to know that you're reaching people all the way in Alberta, Canada. I received a video on my telephone that it was fourth Sunday during baptism, that I saw some of you, and the person is from the islands, and they were watching you,
Amen.
All of us, on television, on Facebook.
Amen.
So Amen. Our giving is not in vain. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. We do pray, ask, oh God, that you bless this offering so that men and women, boys and girls, in our community, in our city, and all across the United States and the world will hear the word of God and listen and trust your son Jesus. Thank you for those, dear Lord, who are participants in giving. We do pray that you just continue to bless each one so that, oh God, we may be vigilant in spreading the gospel to a dying world. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows until Christ comes.
Yes, God.
And let your church say amen.
We're going to just...